The gospel reading for today is recorded in John, the fourth chapter. I'm looking for some glasses in here. Oh well, they're here. So, Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to him to draw water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?"
Because Jews do not share things in common with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her,
"Do you believe in God? And who in the sins do you give me a drink? Who would have given it to you? You have asked and he would have given it to you living water."
And the woman said to him,
"Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?"
And Jesus said to her,
"Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give them will become a spring of water gushing up to eternal life."
And the woman said to him,
"Sir, give me this bucket so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
And Jesus said to her,
"Go call your husband and come back."
The woman answered him,
"I have no husband."
And Jesus said to her,
"You are right in saying that you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband."
And the woman said to him,
"What you have said is true. Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where the people must worship is in Jerusalem."
And Jesus said to her,
"Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation has come from the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and then they worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth."
And the woman said to him,
"I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us."
And Jesus said to her,
"I am he that is speaking to you."
Just then, his disciples came back. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, what do you want, or why are you speaking with her? And then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people,
"Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?"
And they left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him to eat something. But many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony.
"He told me everything I have ever done."
So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world," the gospel of our Lord. So, free indeed, our theme for Lent, right? And the story that you just witnessed is one of the most freeing stories in all of the Gospels. The Samaritan woman, come to the well, Jacob's well, we're told, to draw water in the heat of the day, not in the morning when the other women had come to draw water. They made it clear, perhaps in subtle ways, you know, that this woman with her dubious reputation is not welcome to be part of the Bunko Babes water-carrying group. And I mean, after all, everybody knows her reputation, right? So there she is, drawing water for her household. And who shows up But a Jewish rabbi, now we could probably tell a preacher joke now because it really is a funny story, as you can tell. But against all social conventions, Jesus starts a conversation. And you can just see the Twitter feed going on among the bless their hearts Pharisees. You know, here it goes, here it comes. A Samaritan woman, woman of ill repute, on top of it, hashtag not done bad. Because Jewish men didn't talk to women in public. And in fact, in Jesus' day, if a Jewish woman talked to her husband in public without permission, that was grounds for divorce. That's the kind of society it was. But it becomes clear that, reputation aside, as she and Jesus talk, this woman is one sharp cookie theologically. She knows the Bible that's shared by Jews and Samaritans alike, because although the Samaritans are half-breeds, they intermarried a bunch with the local folks after a couple of those exiles of Israel, unlike the Jews. And so there's that. But they still share a common faith in God and a common belief in the Scriptures. But it's just that there's this disagreement about where to go to worship God. You heard that a little bit. Is it Jerusalem or up here on the mount? You know, up here in the north. And then there's this little thing about eating pork that they argued about, and a few other rules maybe that the Samaritans no longer follow as rigidly as the Jews did. Then comes the kicker. Jesus offers her living water. And do you know what living water is? It's spirit and truth. That's living water, spirit and truth. Strumming her fate with his fingers, he says, I know your whole messy past, and here I am, still talking to you. And in this encounter, something happens to this woman. She goes from a woman in hiding to a woman possessed of joy. I mean, and so much so that her encounter with spirit and truth in the flesh, Jesus, she runs back to town to tell everybody else what happened to her. And her witness, the story says, as a result of her witness, the people come out to see Jesus for themselves and believe as well. By the way, this woman in church tradition has a name. I bet none of you know it. I just found out this week. Fotini is her name. And she was given that name and when she was baptized on the first Pentecost, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, you know. And Fotini became known as Saint Fotini in the Orthodox Church. Saint Fotini, apostle and martyr. Yeah. And this is an interesting thing. The tradition has it that she first went with her five sisters and two sons to be missionaries in Carthage, which is in Tunisia, northern Africa. And then, after Peter and Paul had been executed in Rome, she heard a call from God to go there, to Rome, as a missionary. And her reputation grew around Rome as she boldly confessed Jesus Christ and defiance of Roman law, by the way, if you remember the rules. Emperor Nero, the half-crazed emperor, wanted her dealt with. But she took the initiative, and she came to his palace announcing that she was there to convert him as a follower of Jesus Christ. And in his anger, he had her sons in prison, but then he took Fotini and her five sisters and put them in the imperial palace reception room, and he had it packed with jewels and gold coins and fancy clothing. And then he sent his daughter, Domnina was her name, to convince Fotini to come over to his side, right? But instead, you know what happened? Fotini converted his daughter, Domnina, and all 100 of her household slaves. Well, that got him ticked off. And so you know what he did? He had the sisters all executed by fire. And ironically, Fotini, the woman at the well, you know how she died? They threw her down a dry well to her death, to the well, woman at the well. But what happened to her that day at the well with Jesus that caused such a dramatic change in her life? What possessed her to the point that she was willing to risk her own life and the life of her family members for the sake of Jesus Christ? Well, that gets us to the heart of this story. Because, you know what? It isn't ideas and theological debates that save us. That's all well and good. It's important in our tradition to learn. And Jesus and Fotini had quite a theological debate that day, as you hear some of it in this story. But what caused the change in her life was not a theological debate about ideas. It was a relationship. A relationship with spirit and truth in the flesh. And in that relationship with spirit and truth of God in the flesh, she was exposed for who she was, this rejected woman running on empty in her life spiritually, a woman with a deep well of cynicism and suspicion and hurt, and in need of something far more than life was given her. And in this relationship with Jesus, spirit and truth, Jesus, she's known deeper than she'd ever been known before, and in that same moment accepted like she'd never been accepted before. Have you ever had that experience? Has it gone that deep for you yet? Have you ever been painfully aware of how great your thirst is for being known and accepted as you really are? Human beings, you know, we're pretty good at accepting and loving people, somewhat. But the only place you're ever going to experience it completely is in this living relationship with spirit and truth in the flesh with Jesus. How many of you have seen the movie The Shack? Ever read it? Oh gosh, you guys, you got to go see it. It's in town still for maybe another week. It's a, and Pastor Chuck has done several courses on the book The Shack. And unlike some Christian movies, The Shack, I believe, is spiritually, theologically, and psychologically sound. A story of a man named Mac, whose spiritual well has run dry following the wicked murder of his child while they were out on a camping trip. And his encounter with Papa God. And in this encounter is revealed a God who says to him, among other things, "You are my personal favorite." And God doesn't ignore his willful, sinful behavior and attitudes. That God goes to the depths of his spiritually aching soul and confronts him with honest, loving spirit and truth. Why? In order to set him free from his past. That's why. Well, Lois was a member of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Milwaukee when I was the pastor there. Lois was in church every Sunday. But Lois was barely tolerated by that congregation, like the woman at the well, because, everybody knew her reputation. Her current marriage of 15 years at that time was the result of an affair that was started right in the neighborhood tavern, right around the corner from the church, where all the church members went as well. Right in front of all the church members, she's having this affair, you know? Now, she had long since made peace with God over all that, and she made that very clear to me once when I was talking to her. In fact, the whole family had made peace to the point that when John, her first husband, lost a leg due to diabetes all the way up to here, Lois and Maynard, her second husband, moved into the apartment above him so that they could take care of him. Interesting, huh? But that congregation was not about to forgive Lois for her past. And excluded when it came to leadership of any kind, Never invited to the women's organization for anything. But then we started this thing we do here now, having assisting ministers like Zach helping lead worship. And she volunteered. Well, nobody was dared to tell her she couldn't do it. So here's Lois leading worship. And you know, I'll tell you what, nobody had ever done this before. She sat down and wrote out her own explanation for each scripture text. And when she read those scriptures, it was like it had never been heard before. Incredible, powerful woman. Well, about a year later, we were having a special spiritual stewardship program that required me as the pastor to interview every family. It was called Personal Stewardship Interviews. And so during the 8 weeks that it took to interview all the families, everybody else took on the rest of my job. It was really kind of cool. At any rate, we had preachers, and Lois was asked to preach, interestingly. And I'll never forget the Sunday she preached. You know what the gospel reading was? The woman at the well. And so she stood up there. And she shared her own witness about how spiritually dead she had become earlier in her life, running around on empty, and how that phase of her life just ended abruptly with a visit from God in her life. She described how God made it clear to her that He knew her through and through, every sin that she'd committed, and yet still spoke of her as His beloved child, and for the sake of Jesus Christ, her sins were washed away. And then she looked the congregation straight in the eye, and she said, "And God wants to do the same thing for you that He did for me." You know what the last line of her sermon was? I'll never forget it. Jesus did not come to shame sinners. Jesus came to save sinners. Well, something strange happened in that service. I mean, this is a Norwegian Lutheran church. You know, you could have heard a pin drop, and all of a sudden, like Pastor David's sermon last week at 11 o'clock, somebody started clapping, and it wasn't me, by the way. And then some other people joined in, and then rather sheepish and some rather tearful, everybody stood up and applauded her witness to what? Spirit and truth of the living God. After that, so many people were coming to her house for advice that she called me one day. We were training lay members to be pastoral counselors in the congregation. She said, "I might as well come and get trained because everybody's coming to my house anyway." So she was one of our first lay pastoral counselors. An encounter with Jesus, spirit and truth of the living God, living water. That's also what Luther experienced that led him to give us these words that you see here on the screen. I'm going to invite you to say them with me. This is the meaning of the second article of the Creed, and it's a part of what we've been looking at here for the season in our devotion booklet. Read it with me. "At great cost, He has saved and redeemed me, not with silver or gold, but with His holy and precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. All this He has done in order that I might be His own, live under Him in His kingdom, and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as surely as He is risen from the dead and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true." There you have a lead on your memorization work. Well, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, to feed, to fill thirsting souls with the living water of spirit and truth, right from God. And not only foreigners and people with bad reputations, but you and me, in whatever sin is drying out our well, the well of our souls. Because when you get right down to it, are we any different from Fotini, the woman at the well, or Mac at the shack, or Lois?